You're listening to a special episode of the Being Curious Show with Kelly and Brian.
Good morning, everyone. This is Ishmael Perez, and I have two lovely people here joining me today. And we're going to be discussing tips into how to best navigate the ascension that we are all undergoing at this time. Living in the most exciting times ever, we exist in many dimensions. And, you know, the religious texts are correct. We are made in the image of our Creator. So our potential is divine. And I think that as more and more people come to that realization, there's going to be some sort of a less dependency on external sources like organized religion and more inward journeying, where people begin to discover their own inner powers and their own sovereignty, which is what you guys are promoting, which is awesome. You know, we're all doing our part in this collective ascent in order to remind people, because that's all we're doing. We're reminding people of their own power. It's not about creating another religion, and it's not about having, you know, disciples or anything. I mean, that no one should have disciples. You know, we're all equal, and we are even equal to the angels and the ascended masters. And yes, there has been many that have come before us that have showed us the way as they connected to their high divine self. And so that is an individual process that at this time is being available to all of humanity, is reconnecting back to our higher self, which is really the Christ. Would you agree?
100%. I think it's, you know, when I translate Christ consciousness often, it's like our fullest potential, right? And light beings. And we have many, as you referenced, and your message, Ishmael, that you often give is like, I think, very hopeful, because it is about us coming into our own authenticity and our own sovereign nature and discovering our fullest potential, both in this form, but, you know, our soul is larger than this expression as we are in this form. So we have that experience and, you know, that multidimensional nature. And the more we can access our gifts, talents, and attributes of our soul from all those dimensions, I think we are really at an exciting time in ascension and holding more light and having that light reverberate through all the universes.
Beautifully stated, Elizabeth. Beautifully stated.
I'm like, I have nothing to add to that one. It's like,
yes, you do. You have much to add.
So, Ishmael, in your new book, Our Cosmic Origin, it's really funny. I was going to have my notes printed out like proper, and then my printer didn't work. So there we go. We, like Elizabeth and I, over the last couple of days have been finishing it up, and on the audiobook, by the way, and really boiled down to our little synopsis that we just found that we really aligned with was everything is energy, everything is consciousness. And energy and consciousness create matter. And I just felt like that was just repeated in this beautiful way over and over. Tell us a little bit more about that. And let's also talk about your new book.
Thank you. Well, as cutting edge science is now showing us through the evidence of quantum physics that, you know, consciousness has always existed, that matter, time, and space, as we know it, is emerging from consciousness. So unfortunately, through, you know, they've been teaching Newtonian mechanics for the last couple hundred years or a few hundred years, where they believe that consciousness is a byproduct of matter. But according to the new evidence, it's the other way around. Mm-hmm. So in my book, what I do is I use cutting edge science and I bridge it with the truth of how everything is just an ocean of energy, and how it really just boils down to the idea that in essence, everything has always been consciousness and energy. And what I do is I bridge the gap between ancient metaphysics with cutting edge science to explain the different dimensions. Because, you know, it's very hard for some people to grasp the fact that there are these other dimensions that are imperceptible to the naked eye or that cannot be measured by scientific instruments. But as we go inward, as we explore our inner self, because we're all little universes, right? We're all a reflection of the cosmos. We begin to understand what these other dimensions are. And so I like to believe that my book is a synthesis of, you know, bridging the gap between ancient metaphysics and cutting edge science to explain the bigger picture. And You know, I'm excited that this book is actually having a positive impact on many people. I've been receiving a lot of feedback, by the way, by a lot of people who have read my book or have listened to it. And they've all said that my book pretty much just kind of fills in a lot of gaps for a lot of people while exploring different avenues of knowledge that they had never had a chance to explore. And so that is my contribution to humanity. And yes, I am writing a part two to our cosmic origin, by the way. So it is in progress. And it's all about that. It's all about how we are consciousness. We are energy beings experiencing, you know, different avatars on different dimensions. And more so, it's also about exploring that inner power that we all have as divine beings made in the image of our creator. And I believe that you guys are also teaching the same thing, right? Through your courses and classes. So thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the classes I teach in courses, and also what Kelly teaches and offers through the Edge magazine and the Edge community are very much in line with that in terms of, you know, everyone needs to come in. It's not about giving your power away. It's about actually realizing that how potent we each are and how much it's a coming home, like it's an inner journey to positively impact our outer world in a way that is more loving and more aligned with source at its highest frequency, and transforming those things that I think, you know, those lower thoughts, those ones that align us more in fear and keep us enslaved, transforming those triggers and traumas so that we can have the wisdom of it and not the like limitation or the enslavement of it.
Exactly.
Well, I love that you pointed out that we're really only using 2-4% of like our capabilities, and we're unaware of so many things that are going on around us. And
the dark matter,
right?
And that potential of the dark matter is huge. Sorry.
It's super exciting. And as an intuitive and a mystic and a psychic medium, I sit there and when I'm working with either spirits that have transitioned or here, there, anywhere, galactic brothers and sisters. Oh my goodness. It's just, everyone's here and everyone's playing. I love it. And it so many people are fascinated by it. But then when you go that, look, we're only really tapping into this little like pie, like big pie, the little teeny, all of that around it. When you start going with that, it's just like.
Well, and I think it gets to the speed of which things are operating. As things speed up and light speeds up and are like the energy, you know, because even our physical nature is energy. Mm-hmm. From yoga and Ayurveda and, you know, Vedic texts and practices, like this is energy too. It's just in a denser form. And we're being asked to lighten this up even more and more and more. And I remember I had the opportunity to talk to a gentleman that works at NASA, and he was talking about the dark matter being also only, you know, 96% or 98% of what we can, you know, is we haven't even tapped into yet, right? And also a mentor of Kelly and I's, Maureen Higgins, and also a colleague, because she also agrees, like, we're all equal and we're all here to like manifest our fullest potential. And it's not about people giving it away or having quote unquote, you know, discipleship or followers. It's about supporting
the competition, all that fun stuff.
Yeah. No, that's an outdated model. It's yeah. But even I was having a conversation with my youngest son, and he took one of those, like a string made up of these little magnets, and he was spinning it, right? And he's like, this is what I think the 98% of unseen like dark matter is it's going so fast you can't actually see it. And as we start to shift into those higher frequencies and faster frequencies aligned with love, we get to tap into more and more of that dark matter that brings in divine miracles, that brings in more of our fuller potential and more access to our multidimensional nature and how we're beyond time and space. But for us on the Earth, we use time and space because of the sun and the gravitational pull of the Earth to help us organize this experience, at least at this moment in time.
Exactly. And that's one of the things that I point out in my book is that dark matter and dark energy, which comprise 96% of the so-called missing reality, is really reality vibrating at higher frequencies. Mm-hmm. So the astronomers pierce into the cosmos and all they see is galaxies. They're actually only piercing into the 4%. And the only reason why they're only seeing the 4% is because we were somehow programmed or designed to only experience by virtue of deactivating, 96% of our DNA, right?
Right.
It's a correlation. We were designed to only experience the 4%. But like Kelly said, reality vibrates at different frequencies. So as we raise our own frequency, right, through the spiritual work, we actually begin to tap into that dark matter and dark energy that is all around us. And guess what? There are intelligent life forms that exist in that dark matter and dark energy. So when people think that the extraterrestrials are out there, it's a misunderstanding of our existence. They're actually all around us, but it's just that we don't see them because they're operating in those frequencies of the light energy spectrum that is vibrating at higher rates of vibrational frequencies, And so I think that's what's happening right now is that as we as a collective begin to vibrate at a higher frequency, we're actually going to be piercing through the veil in order to have access to those realms that scientists are, mislabeling as dark matter. And
did you guys just feel the shift coming in since you've been talking about that? I feel like I'm in the Tron game right now as you're talking. I am it's like you keep going. I'm sorry to interrupt, but I'm having a moment of just like, this is amazing. Okay.
You might be experiencing the X-class solar flare, which is considered a G3, the most highest solar flares, the maximum is G5. So I think once we hit a G5 X-class solar flare, that's when the solar flash is going to take place. So it's supposed to be hitting now. So that's what we're probably experiencing is these massive CMEs that are coming in at this time, which is awesome.
Totally. And maybe Kelly, one of you can say more about that, because I think as the collective experiences more of that, there becomes a tipping point. And then everyone has like a shift up in frequency. And I know personally, like sometimes when that happens for me, it's like the denser things I've been holding on to, then I become even more aware of, and I have to spend some time releasing or healing or letting them go. And I know part of what we're hoping to do in our conversation today is support people as they might be experiencing some of those shifts.
I agree. And I think that the CMEs are actually forcing us now to face any unhealed wounds, any lower densities that we might still be experiencing. Yeah. Because in order to live in fifth dimensional reality, we have to somehow transmute all those lower densities in order for our body to withhold and be able to absorb all that light, frequency, higher vibrational frequency that is coming in at this time, so that we can become less denser. And just like Elizabeth pointed out, even our bodies are energy, but it's energy vibrating at a very low frequency, making it congealed or solid. But in true essence, as we raise our frequencies, our bodies will become less dense, and we're going to be accessing higher dimensions where our light body, which comprises of the other 96% of our what they call so-called junk DNA, will be activated. And I think that's when we're going to be able to display supernatural abilities, because I believe that these faculties that that will allow us to exert superhuman abilities lays dormant within that 96% of our so-called crystalline structure that we haven't been using for thousands of years. And
so how do we tap into that? Like, I feel like I'm levitating right now. I'm like going like this, just if anyone can pop it up, I think that's right now, let's do it. But like,
Well, I think I'm curious. Well, go ahead, Ishmael, if you're about to say something.
But how do we do this? Like, okay. So as you can clearly see, there's something going on with me. So yeah. How do we hold that space? How do we hold that frequency? I think I saw in an interview you did, it's the 580 frequency is where we need to try to hold to keep. Okay, how do we do that? that. Like, I feel like I have like little strings trying to pull me up right now. Like, sorry, this is fun. I love this stuff.
Me too.
There are multiple ways in which we could do that. The best way to keep a high frequency is through proper diet, also connecting every day, establishing some sort of spiritual practice where we connect with our higher self and the divine on a daily basis. And also living out or being anchored in your heart, you know, being in a place where you see the sacredness in all living things and in everyone, even those that are not awakened. That is the best way to keep your frequency up. And of course, you know, you're controlling your thoughts and emotions, maintaining.
Tell me more about that, because that's hard to do.
Oh, yeah, it is very hard to do, especially when we live in a 3D world where things are still going to trigger us and, you know, circumstances are, you know, most people think that it's hard to overcome our emotions, but it's really not. You know, when you think about how we're really just living in a very minute moment in time and how this is really just like a dream within a dream. Think about it this way, you know, when you're dreaming and if you're aware of your dreams, while you're dreaming, you could actually control the outcome of your dream, you know? So if we take that concept and we apply it to this wake world, which is a dream within a dream, right? Because we're really operating from the fifth dimension, currently existing in the third dimension, we begin to control the way we react to things. And one way by doing it is by understanding that we are living in some sort of simulation and a living simulation as opposed to a digital, you know, computerized simulation. This is a living simulation, a reflection of a, you know, larger deep reality that's being reflected on a lower scale or on a lower density. Then we begin to understand that everything that happens is not happening to us. It's happening for us in order to create more growth. And then at that point, we begin to react differently. And then we don't allow these negative emotions to consume us anymore. We could still feel them, but then we're able to transmute them though. As we feel them, we express them and then we transmute them. And every time we transmute them, guess what? We become more light. And I think that's how we are able to access higher levels of consciousness through these challenges, through these oppositions that take place, and through your own ways of transmuting these lower densities.
I just saw it to be like a screen. So I think we as humans will take experiences and just go, oop, oop, I'm just going to pack that puppy up and I'm going to push it down. Gut issues, talk about that, like push, push, push. Oh, it's not happening. But if you just stand there and you get grounded, I just saw like ground, like all the way down, all the way up, and then just sit there and then just like take a deep breath and just feel it like a screen and then let it go. Mm-hmm. That could be kind of cool. Maybe.
Well, I think what you're also highlighting here is this ability to witness when we connect up to our higher self and our source and our optimal spiritual guides aligned with our highest good, truth, and source. We're able to move more in a witness stance so that we don't, every emotion and every thought, we don't have to take the ride. We can kind of, it's almost like staying on the shore, witnessing, getting curious about those ones that take hold of us because there's room for healing those wounds or those experiences that no longer serve us, and allowing them to just transform so that we can hold more light and we don't get stuck in another loop of that emotion or another loop of that experience or another loop of that unskillful action that keeps us in a lower density or keeps us operating more from 3D and kind of moving through that birth canal into the middle and higher realms with a higher thinking and feeling state. And you know, I know some days I do that really skillfully and some days I'm like, whoa, I got like, you know, pulled in the undertow of it. And then I can get, you know, take a pause and get curious about why.
Something that I've also recently been wondering is if this is mine or the collective's, mm-hmm. but also are these my ancestors that I came to be a part of to help clear up? Mm-hmm. And there was something I was dealing with the other day that I sat there and I see pictures. So I was looking at shopping bags and I said, okay, here's a situation. I'm holding all these shopping bags. And it was almost like go-go gadget arms. They had womb to be able to put more like bags on. And then I went, which of this situation, what's mine? and all these bags dropped to the ground, and it was just a couple of them. And then I was able to go, oh, okay, that's cool. Those aren't mine. And then I was able to actually go bag by bag to each bag that's mine and go, okay, tell me more about this. And it was so much easier to deal with, and to see everything just drop. I was like, oh, cool. That's not just me.
Well, and I think what you're highlighting there is how potent, as each individual heals, it affects the collective, right?
Absolutely. Because we're all connected, you know,
right.
Even though I think it's only within the 3D that we see things as separated. But when you go deeper into the realm of the what they call the quantum realm, everything is just one unified ocean of energy. And we're all connected somehow through that field of the unified field. And so as more of us do the healing, and as more of us gain control of their emotions through the transmutation of negative feelings, right, by becoming aware of them, it's actually going to heal the collective faster. And I think that's what people call the 100 monkey syndrome, or the Maharishi effect, is that, you know, because we're all connected, right, through this field of energy. And believe it or not, we are part of a planetary mind hive. Every species has a mind hive. Okay, so we're part of the human mind hive. So I think once we reach 10%, that's when there's going to be some sort of critical mass shift where everyone's going to get it. Even those that are still sleeping or that are still following some sort of program, they're all going to get it, because we're all connected through this mind hive, organic mind hive, as opposed to the AI, you know, cyborg.
Okay. I need you to touch on that, because that's the bubble's been over my head. I was like, please finish that thought, but I really want to know what you have to say and what you're dialing in with AI and what's coming in.
Okay, so the difference between an organic mind hive and that of an AI mind hive is that in an AI mind hive, I'm going to use the Greys, for example. The Greys are an extraterrestrial species that are programmed life forms. They have no sovereignty. They're actually programmed to do the biting of whatever that mind hive is. So they're all like little robots, okay? They lost their connection to God. The difference is that in an AI mind hive, we have no individuality. We have no sovereignty. We're literally just programmed to do whatever it is that we were programmed to do. For example, like in the movie The Matrix, you know, whereas in a natural organic mind hive, we're still connected through the unified field while maintaining our individual sovereignty, giving us the ability to also make our own decisions. That's the difference, is that we still have individuality. We still have free will in a organic mind hive, as opposed to that where we are connected to some sort of AI, a system that does all the decision making for us. And that's where the forces of darkness that's their ultimate agenda, is to connect everybody to the Borg. And the Borg is here, by the way. It's already being built through the satellite systems, which explains what's been happening in the last few years with the planned, you know, I'm not going to say the word, I don't want to get flagged, but that's all part of their negative timeline, is to try to
just
get
go
us
like this. Just go.
That's part of their negative timeline, is to try to get as many people as possible to connect, to be plugged into the, you know, the Borg that will ultimately eliminate everybody's free will and make everybody robotic, unfortunately. But, you know, that's not going to happen in the positive timeline, of course.
Right. And so for people who are sitting listening to this, how do we share? I mean, we shared some things of like, these are things you can do, but that free will, like let's say they're teetering between those two options.
How do we get them curious?
How can we provide courage and curiosity to move into that 10% to help the tip?
Well, I think it all starts with awareness. You know, first we have to become aware of what's really happening. And I believe since the last 2 years, since, you know, we were all forced to sit in our home, right? I think there's been an acceleration of awakening.
We're invited to sit in our home. We could choose.
Yeah, exactly. We're invited, of course. You know, a lot of us rebelled and we broke the protocols, right? But I think that as more people become aware, the better. You know, the faster we're going to reach that critical point, that critical mass effect, that's going to shift it for everybody else, where everyone's going to get it. And I think we are heading there. I mean, it has been prophesied. You know, it has been prophesied that at the end of the dark age, or at the end of the great cycle, which is now, that humanity is going to have some sort of awakening, and they're going to be able to understand what's been happening for the last thousands of years and then regain their own power and their sovereignty as a result of that.
I agree. And I think the last few years has highlighted that for many. You know, so I had a curiosity around a couple of years ago around, it felt energetically like we had started to hit that tipping toward love and source and higher frequency and this positive timeline. And this last few years has felt like a last ditch effort to try to keep that from happening. And what I find that is beautiful and inspiring is how many people have awoken out of the deep dreamless sleep that they've been in and said, wait a minute, this waking state, like I can have much more, I have that ability to become sovereign, and it's going to be more work. Like I'm not going to give my, what works for me to stay in health and full potential away to authority anymore. So.
Exactly. I agree. I like calling it the waking from the deep programming, waking up from the programming, because, you know, we have all been programmed from the moment we are birthed into this world. The programming begins with our parents. The first words that they say, you know, locks us into this, you know, one box of reality, right? The educational system, you know, what comes out of the television set, everything's part of keeping us locked into this.
A television.
Pretty much, yeah, exactly.
It's telling a vision. It's telling a vision to us.
Pretty much, yeah. So, you know, everything is part of the program. And I think people are beginning to snap out of their programming due to this acceleration. As we're heading into zero point, of course. So it's exciting times, you know.
Do you want to say more about, I mean, I know the zero point is in your book, but for those who may have not yet read Cosmic Origins, do you want to give a synopsis of zero point and why that matters?
Yeah, well, it's equivalent to what they call the Fibonacci effect, or the golden ratio, where time starts, you know, for billions of years in a big loop, and then as it circles around, it becomes smaller and smaller and smaller to the point where it hits a certain level. Once it gets to the center where everything starts again, it's like a reboot. Everything goes back into zero point. So I think that because we are ending many cycles, not just a 5,000 year cycle or a 26,000 year cycle, we're actually ending greater cycles. I think that that's the reason why this acceleration in time, where we're heading to a moment where time is actually going to cease to exist, which is going to cause the great shift of ages, by the way. And I think that corresponds to the trigger that comes from the sun to absolutely bring us into this new reality, is already there. And the Mayans talked about it. Every indigenous culture talked about how we are approaching a critical mass shift due to the acceleration of time. And I think that for the last, 10 to 15 years, people have been witnessing how a 24-hour day is now, it seems to appear as a, 16-hour day, where we don't longer see time as it was back in the 80s or 90s. You know, there is some sort of acceleration that's been taking place ever since. And that a lot of that has to do to the fact that we are approaching the zero point field, where everything just collapses back into no time. And I think that's what the zero point field is. It is a moment in time when there is no time. And I believe that that's when we go into the higher dimensional earth, where there is no time. You know, we are going beyond time and beyond, because time is only registered in the third dimension, you know, where we see things from like point A to point B. But as you guys know, as we go into the fifth dimension, everything's happening simultaneously. And that's the reason why we are going to be going quantum as a result of reaching zero point fields.
Okay. We could probably do another 2 hours on that, right? In preparation for our time together, I did ask a couple of friends that when I shared that we were going to be, again, sharing time together, they had a couple of questions. So you just kind of teed up the sun, and I have something from a beautiful soul named Terry Peterson, and she wanted to ask you, is the sun inside the earth and reflects off the veil, which is why we think it's in the sky? Tell me more about that question and what your thoughts are on it.
If you know, I mean,
right?
Okay, so I personally believe that the sun is not inside the earth. However, there is, because due to the fact that the earth is hollowed, there is an inner sun, a different sun inside the earth that gives light to the subterranean advanced civilizations that have existed there, who are the remnants of ancient civilizations, right? But our sun, as we see it in the sky, is actually outside of the earth. And I do believe that our sun is also a living entity that is connected to all the different stars in our galaxy, connected through these electromagnetic filaments, because even our galaxy at a grand scale of reality is a living entity. So I do believe in the living cosmos. I do believe that the earth is a living entity, as well as the elements, all the planets. And I do believe that the sun is outside of the earth and that the planets revolve around the sun. So I guess to answer your question, I do believe in the heliocentric model of reality, not the geocentric. So that's why I don't agree with the flat earth concept.
I thought it was actually, when I was taking in these questions, I was like, that's going to be a fun one to discuss.
Yeah, and I also believe that our solar system is traveling. Just like how our planet revolves around the sun, I believe that our sun is revolving around a bigger sun. And that explains the cycles, right? Everything is a circle within a circle. Mm-hmm. But then in turn, our solar system with this greater sun known as Alcyon is revolving around the galactic core with Sirius B. So that explains the cycles, the different cycles, because the way I see it is everything is a circle within a circle within a circle. And according to the hermetic principles, everything is vibrating and everything's in constant motion. So yes, I do believe that the earth is spinning, that the earth is revolving. It's constantly moving because that's just the way energy works. Everything is like a funnel, like a sphere, like a torsion field. There you go. That's the best way to describe reality. We are all torsion fields, within a bigger torsion field, within a bigger torsion field.
No, that makes sense.
I mean, that resonates for me. And it I think also highlights that microcosm within a macrocosm within a macrocosm, you know, exactly. Effect. One thing I wanted to circle back on is you mentioned how our programming starts at birth, and you know, maybe even before birth. But one practice I think we can offer people who might be listening, it's a Vedic practice, and you whisper in the baby's left ear that they are light, as a beginning of the remembering. And there's a Sanskrit term for it, which I can put in the notes when we publish this, but it's that whispering of you are light, and a first, like that first imprint into this reality.
Yes, I agree. And even more so, I think that while the baby is in the womb, we could begin to speak to it in terms of telling it, you are light, you are unconditional love, you are multidimensional, you are unlimited. You know, I think that it starts even before birth. I mean, that's my opinion.
Agreed. Yeah. Agreed. I think that we're, you know, again, it's like we're constantly in this transformation from what we have come in the 3D to call birth and death, is massive transformation into different levels of consciousness and source manifesting in matter. And then going back to source.
And that's what the process is we're moving back to source. And as I explained in my book, the descent, which is what the Eastern teachers call the outbreath of God, it's really just source dividing itself into as many pieces as possible to explore more of itself. That's called the descent, or what I call the involution of spirit into matter, right? Different frequencies of itself. And now we're experiencing the ascent, which is the matter through the raising of vibrational frequency, becoming less dense and dense as it becomes what, pure energy again. And that is a cycle that takes another perhaps billions of years. But, you know, we're heading there. we're all heading back into unity consciousness, right?
Yes.
Oh, absolutely. You know, touching on birth and kids, what can we be doing as parents? Because something that the Edge magazine is going to launch for 2024 is a kids' corner. Because I truly, like my 13-year-old, and Elizabeth can testify this, she's we have to bowling and just throw the bumpers up and just like try to like keep her on the rails, because she's so gifted and dialed in on so many different levels. Yes, she's my daughter, but she's not the same of DNA than I am. Like she's just so fearless, and she knows her mission, and she is, if you get in her way and she's on her mission, she's a force, right? To the point where she was in sixth grade in science class and a little boy decided to make fun of her and she just slapped him. Like, oh my gosh. Like, so I have the principal talking to me and I'm like, but didn't he like pick on her? Like, so it's really, really hard. Side note on that one. But what can we do for our kids and our teens who are going through such interesting times? What can we do to empower them? Because I know if I went to my daughter and said, I'd like you to meditate and please eat more fruits and vegetables, what else can we do? Sorry, I'm starting to channel, which is not fun on this, but I mean, but it is, but I just have so much coming in. Mm-hmm. What can we do for our kids? What can we do for our teens? I just think that those are two age groups that just kind of need that safe space right now. I just rambled way too long. I'm sorry.
I think, can I highlight something that I think you're getting?
Nope.
Is our kids, the kids that are coming onto the planet at this point in time have come in at a very high frequency to help with the shift. And as parents or guardians of those spirits here who are incarnate as our children, how do we support them staying embodied in their light when, you know, during this massive ascent?
We become their teachers. You know, we become teachers from birth. We teach them yoga. We teach them how to meditate. And if they don't want to meditate, you know, teach them through example. You know, when they see you meditating on a daily basis, you know, a lot of the times the kids do learn by mimicking what we do. So if you are established in a spiritual daily practice, they will eventually want to mimic you. So we teach through example, first and foremost. We also learn how to cultivate their gifts that they already have. These are the crystal children, by the way, by telling them that it's okay to have spirit guides, or as they would call imaginary friends. And it's okay to communicate with your imaginary friends. You know, I think one of the biggest downfalls in our society is that when these gifted kids are being born, their parents immediately begin to program them and saying, those aren't real. You can't have imaginary friends. You know, and I think that's where it goes wrong, because what you're doing is you're forcing them to suppress their ability. So what you want to do is you want to enhance the abilities and do the opposite and encourage communication with their imaginary friends. And also by, you know, feeding them the right food, you know, organic stuff, you know, living food, right? As opposed to those foods that have preservatives and toxins. And also by educating them, talking to them about spirituality, even at an early age, believe it or not, when a child is born into this body that is a crystal child, they will grasp it. They will understand, even at the age of four, you know, what spirituality is. Talking to them about how there's different dimensions. Begin that type of educational process at an early age. And I guarantee you, your child is going to go, you know, their gifts are just going to expand. And most importantly, be patient with them. Be very patient with them, because they do have a sense of rebelling. So what you want to do is you want to love them unconditionally, no matter what they do, while at the same time trying to teach them these higher concepts that normally parents don't teach their kids. You know, they unfortunately, parents allow the educational system to teach their kids. And I've always believed that the parent is the most important teacher in a child's life. So when you understand that, you begin to teach your own children about spirituality, about what's happening in the world, you know, and they will understand. That's my opinion.
I would agree with that. And I think it goes back to something you shared earlier, Ismail, is like coming into that heart-centered consciousness of, I think one of the major shifts I've witnessed in the last few years, especially, is how much of humanity is coming into that heart-centered consciousness and hertz and frequency. And when knowledge and wisdom isn't just in the head, but is embodied in that heart-centered, I notice it keeps me more whole, but it also, I notice it keeps kids more whole, and that they're not swallowing everything whole. It's like, does it resonate at this frequency? And if it doesn't, how can I be curious and conscious and ask questions and not just take what I'm being fed as truth?
I agree. And at this point, I think because of the fact that the entire educational system is corrupt, I think that people who are on the spiritual path should homeschool their kids. That's my opinion, though.
Okay. Can I send my daughter to your place?
I think he's getting that you're to be her teacher.
That's what I know.
Having her take my starseed cosmology course. I'm just kidding. I'm just saying.
Okay. That's fantastic.
Well, and I think also empowering people, young and the wise, that intuition is one of our greatest ways of knowing. And those gifts, talents have been suppressed, I believe, in order to have power and control over humanity. And as people are bringing their gifts and talents of intuition and different ways of knowing back online and relying on those more, I've noticed a major shift back into sovereignty, a major shift back into people's authenticity, and notice the collective moving out of that self-sacrifice model of, I have to do this because it's going to benefit everyone. And where I really believe right now, as we're ascending, that it's about how can I be my brightest, most healthy, most potential, multidimensional self, and that benefits everyone instead of the self-sacrifice model that religion used for millennia and longer.
I agree, Elizabeth. I do agree. Yeah.
Well, Kelly.
Yeah, right. Right. Water. Tell us about water. The important. I have been craving water lately, and like little water fountains everywhere. I'm not kidding. I have one right by my desk. Like, what is going on with water lately?
Well, it is 80% of our, our own inner molecular structure or our physical body, and it's also 80% of our earth, and it's from what I understand, the third dimensional universe, it's 80% of the universe as well. Water as a living entity is connected with every other water, and many believe that through the water we are able to access other realms, other planetary systems, and other realities, because it's all connected as one. It is a living, conscious being. So I think that this is the time that we should establish some sort of relationship with the elements. And because water comprises of, it's the biggest element, right, out there. I think water, which also corresponds to our emotional body, it's very powerful to establish some sort of a direct communication with water. Begin speaking to your water before you drink it. You bless it. And trust me, that water will, in turn bless it, fortify your body's health. So if you begin to speak to water, even if you're going to go for a swim and go in the ocean, you begin to communicate with water. I think that enhances your own spirituality, So I think water is perhaps the most important element out there.
Yeah. I'm just telling you, I've been a freak about water over the last month. It's just crazy. I'm like, oh, I have to ask you about water. Okay.
I agree with that. And that invitation for the elements that you're bringing forward of we're made up of ether, air, fire, water, earth, from at least the Vedic perspective. And there's ways to continue to work with those different ratios within us to help us ascend.
Exactly. Yep.
So we have our water, eating a proper diet, spiritual practice, anchoring everything into your heart and to love. Are there any, I don't know why I keep feeling that, sometimes we're not always able to align with our proper diet. Are there any supplements that you take or supplements that you know about that might be something that you take on a daily basis that you think we could share with everybody?
That you think would be good for everybody, or like,
is that the- No, just what you take.
Well, I personally take cordyceps, like the mushroom powders, you know, that are really healthy for you. I take lion's mane. I take a turkey tail, and then of course reishi every morning with a green smoothie that has all the, you know, the ashwagandha, the chlorella, the moringa. So if you adapt a superfood diet, I think it's going to accelerate your own ascension, you know, because that stuff is very alkaline. And again, you know, it's going to be easier for us to transition into our new fifth dimensional bodies if we adopt a alkaline diet, which means, you know, eating more vegetables, more greens, more fruits that are vibrating at a higher frequency, because, you know, even they are conscious, they are living things. And I always like to communicate with my food before I eat.
Okay, like, tell me more about that.
It's just as simple as just, you know, thanking it and, you know, asking it to nourish your body. And that's it. I mean, you do that every time before you, you know, eat your berries or eat your vegetables. It actually enhances your health overall, because it's aware. It's actually receiving your blessings, your prayer, and it's listening to you when you speak to it. Just like how when we speak to water, right? When we speak to water and we give it blessings, or plants, right? You know, there was an experiment where they did I think it happened in Ireland, where there was a group of people who actually sent love and gave positive affirmations to the plants, and the plants just grew tall and green and you know, lovely. Whereas another group of people did the opposite. You know, they were saying negative things to the plants, you know, giving it like emotions of hate, and then those plants just never grew. They just kind of died and withered away. So it is the same with our food, with our fruits and vegetables. You know, they're aware of themselves, and they are aware of you. So if you can begin to establish a relationship with what you eat, it's actually just going to benefit your health overall.
That is okay, but does that work with McDonald's?
No, absolutely not. You have to stay away from fast food, by the way. Fast food is not real food anymore. That's poison.
I don't know. It's interesting. It's fast food. I have not aligned with it for a long time. Right. What are some other, before we wrap up, because you've been so generous with your time, what are some other daily tips and tricks that you implement in your daily life that you could share with the listeners of this, that they might, I keep seeing that if everybody takes little baby steps, just little permanent baby steps, it'll just help that. And I have a feeling that you walk the walk and talk the talk and walk the walk. So I'm sure there's some other insight that you could share with people.
Well, as simple as just waking up with gratitude, you know, taking 5 minutes out of your time when you wake up to establish some sort of a being thankful, gratitude with, you know, the universe, the creator, God source. And then as well as when we go to sleep, you know, go to sleep with gratitude in your heart. So I think that by starting our day with gratitude, it opens up the doors for many positive things to come your way, because the universe does respond. You know, we are living in a living conscious universe. And so when you have gratitude in your heart, and also being mindful, of course, you know, throughout the day, being in the state of just being aware, being in that state of being aware in the presence at each given moment in time, is also allowing you to co-create circumstances throughout your day and overall through your life. So waking up with gratitude, going to sleep with gratitude, and being mindful in everything that you do throughout the day, I think are very important keys in establishing and maintaining a high frequency lifestyle.
So simple, but so beautiful. And it's just doing it.
I also just want to say how grateful I am that you've had the courage to share all the information that you've received over these last many, many years. You've been sharing it for a long time, well before maybe everyone was in on the conversation. And I just appreciate how heart-centered both you and Kelly are in terms of your generosity of spirit and knowledge and compassion.
And you too, Elizabeth. I appreciate your heart-centeredness and your service to others and, you know, your own, you know, you also walk the talk. You know, I'm reading everybody's energy here, and you guys are all examples of what a fifth dimensional being is like. So thank you for also doing what you guys do as well.
Well, it's, I mean, if we all do it, then we all connect and support one another. And it's easier to stay in that frequency with more and more people.
Exactly.
Joining.
Yay. Well, is there anything before we wrap up? Is there anything coming in or any little message that you want to give everybody? And I know this is going on your channel and I'm just kind of like doing this to honor our time, but anything that you, either of you want to share with everybody?
You want to go first, Elizabeth?
I would just say continue to be compassionate, have courage and curiosity, and stay connected to self and great love. Because that love and gratitude can carry each of us into the greatest potential that we haven't even fully fathomed or experienced, but are on the ride for.
And to add to that, you know, I would say, remember that we are the ones that everyone's expecting, guys. There is no external savior. We have to do the work, get connected with our higher self so that we could what? Become the Christ that everybody's expecting. So you, every single one of you, all the listeners, you guys are what everyone's expecting. Never forget, never give your power away to anything outside of yourself. So that's my final message. Now, where can people find you guys?
Yeah, go ahead, Kelly. Did you want to give a final message before?
You guys, we're in this together. Let's support each other. And we need to have fun. The joy and that fun with ease and grace is so much, so appreciated. And I know it helps me start my day. Love the idea about the gratitude practice as well. I am married to Eeyore, and I'll just leave it at that. And I sit before I get up every day and like, today's going to be a great day. And even if it's just something little like that, I just map out for optimal outcomes for the day. And it almost is like you pop up and things just go a little smoother and a little easier. And when you believe in optimal outcomes and you sit in gratitude, little stupid stuff happens and you're just like, yeah, okay. And it doesn't ruin your day like some people would do. Right? How do people find me? It's Kelly, and I'm the publisher of Edge Magazine. We are printed online, edgemagazine.net. And my email address, just in case anybody wants it, is kelly@edgemagazine.net.
If you guys can see that, this is her magazine. Can you guys see
yes,
that?
Yes, it's Edge awesome. Magazine. Yeah.
Almost.
Thank you so much.
There it is. There you go.
Absolutely. It's an honor. I love it.
I agree. The Edge Magazine and the Edge community is a great place to connect with light beings of all, you know, of great potential. And you can find me at Exploring Sovereignty with Elizabeth, which is a new podcast and show. And my website is Soma, S-O-M-A, Soul, S-O-U-L, Sovereignty, S-O-V-E-R-E-I-G-N-T-Y.com. Or elizabethsullivan.love, if that's easier. And how about you, Ismail? Where can they find you?
They could find me in the other dimensions where I'm mostly hanging out. And I'm just kidding.
Awesome. We'll totally join you.
All right. Well, I'm on, my website, I have two websites. I have our cosmicorigin.com, where you could actually access the new version of my book with the new added chapter that kind of reveals what happens after the ascension as we go into the future. And not to mention, my book's already available on audio if you prefer to listen to it. And then, of course, you have access to all my platforms, my real YouTube channel, not those, you know, many pirated ones. I only have one YouTube channel, but I have many fake accounts out there, people trying to steal my interviews. You could also access my Instagram, my Facebook, TikTok, and all that stuff. And then I also have another website where I offer online courses called thecosmicarts.com, where I teach three courses. My famous course that everybody loves is Starseed Cosmology, which I cover 20 years of research condensed into 6 hours, 2 hours a week. And we go over the cosmic history of the Earth, all the chakras all the way to the 12 dimensions and much more, you know, the different seedings that took place. I mean, it's in depth, you know, it's really intense. And then I also teach myth and theology. We go over esoteric mystery schools. We go over mythology, who these gods were in mythology, which are really extraterrestrials, and much more. And then I also teach starseed astrology, where we take your natal chart and we're able to pinpoint exactly your origin of, or the star system that you originated from. So that's what I offer.
That's awesome. And I'll chime in. I have some classes at the School for Higher Consciousness, which teach intuitive development, like, you know, tapping into your intuitive and psychic gifts, which we all have, and then ancestry and other lifetimes. So diving more into your multidimensional nature and how to access those other aspects of your soul. And then the Physical Alchemist, which helps you explore consciousness and ground it into this energy body.
Nice. Look at what we're doing, you guys. This is awesome.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Kelly and Ishmael. It was an honor and a privilege and a delight to be in this dimension, in this realm with you for a little bit of time. I know we're in other dimensions and realms doing a lot of great work. And I just, from the bottom of my heart, thank you.
Ishmael, wrap us up.
Well, thank you guys for joining me today. And this is a message for everyone. Don't ever forget who you are. And remember that every day you have the opportunity to start anew, you know, regardless of what yesterday was. You are the captain of your own sail.